Igor the barman appeared. He looked more or less human, apart from the hair on the back of his hands and the single, unbifurcated eyebrow across his forehead. He tossed a couple of mats on the table and put their drinks down.
"You're probably wishing this was a dwarf bar," said Angua.
She lifted her beer mat carefully and glanced at the underside. Cheery looked around again. By now, if it had been a dwarf bar, the floor would be sticky with beer, the air would be full of flying quaff, and people would be singing. They'd probably be singing the latest dwarf tune, Gold, 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 or one of the old favourites like Gold, 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 or the all-time biggie, Gold, Gold, Gold. In a few minutes, the first axe would have been thrown.
"No," she said, "it could never be that bad."
"Drink up," said Angua. "We've got to go and see, something."
A large, hairy hand grabbed Angua's wrist. She looked up into a terrifying face, all eyes and mouth and hair.
"Hello, Schlitzen," she said calmly.
"I'm hearing where there's a baron who's really unhappy about you," said Schlitzen, alcohol crystallising on his breath.
"That's my business, Schlitzen," said Angua. "Why don't you just go back behind your door like the good bogeyman that you are?"
"He's saying where you're disgracing the old country."
"Let go, please," said Angua.
Her skin was white where Schlitzen was gripping her. Cheery looked from the wrist to the bogeyman's shoulder. Rangy though the creature was, muscles were strung along his arm like beads on a wire.
"You're wearing a badge," it sneered. "What's a good wee?"
Angua moved so fast, she was a blur. Her free hand pulled something from her belt and flipped it up and onto Schlitzen's head. He stopped and stood, swaying back and forth gently, making faint moaning sounds. On his head, flopping down around his ears like the knotted hanky of a style-impaired seaside sunbather, was a small square of heavy material. Angua pushed back her chair and grabbed the beer mat. The shadowy figures around the walls were muttering.
"Let's get out of here," she said. "Igor, give us half a minute and then you can take the blanket off him. Come on."
They hurried out. The fog had already turned the sun into a mere suggestion, but it was vivid daylight compared to the gloom in Beers.
"What happened to him?" said Cheery, running to keep up with Angua's stride.
"Existential uncertainty," Angua said. "He doesn't know whether he exists or not. It's cruel, I know, but it's the only thing we've found that works against bogeymen. Blue, fluffy blanket for preference," she noted Cheery's blank expression. "Look, bogeymen go away if you put your head under the blankets. Everyone knows that, don't they? So if you put their head under a blanket..."
"Oh, I see. Oh, that's nasty."
"He'll feel all right in 10 minutes.
Angua skimmed the beer mat across the alley.
"What was he saying about a baron?"
"I wasn't really listening," said Angua carefully.
Cheery shivered in the fog, but not just from the cold.
"He sounded like he came from Uberwald, like us. There was a baron who lived near us, and he hated people to leave."
"Yes.
The whole family were werewolves. One of them ate my second cousin."
Angua's memory spun in a hurry. Old meals came back to haunt her from the time before she'd said, "No, this is not the way to live. A dwarf, a dwarf." No, she was pretty sure she'd never... The family had always made fun of her eating habits.
"That's why I can't stand them," said Cheery. "Oh, people say they can be tamed, but I say, once a wolf, always a wolf. You can't trust them. They're basically evil, aren't they? They could go back to the wild at any moment, I say."
"Yes, you may be right."
"And the worst thing is, most of the time they walk around looking just like real people."
Angua blinked, glad of the twin disguises of the fog and Cheery's unquestioning confidence.
"Come on, we're nearly there."
"Where?"
"We're going to see someone who's either our murderer or who knows who the murderer is."
Cheery stopped.
"But you've got only a sword and I haven't even got that."
"Don't worry, we won't need weapons."
"Oh, good.
They wouldn't be any use."
"Oh."
Vimes opened his door to see what all the shouting was about down in the office. The corporal manning, or in this case dwarfing, the desk, was having trouble.
"Again? How many times have you been killed this week?"
"I was minding my own business," said the unseen complainer.
"Stacking garlic? You're a vampire, aren't you? I mean, let's see what jobs you've been doing. Post-sharpener for a fencing firm? Sunglasses tester for Argus Opticians? Is it me, or is there some underlying trend here?"
"Excuse me, Commander Vimes?"
Bimes looked round into a smiling face that sought only to do good in the world, even if the world had other things it wanted done.
"Ah, constable visit. Yes," he said hurriedly. "At the moment, I'm afraid I'm rather busy, and I'm not even sure that I have got..."